The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com around this time every Tuesday. Get our diamond notes. Talk some Michigan baseball. Michigan baseball coach Eric Backich is the Wolverines. Took 2 of 3 from the Spartans in their weekend series. 1 game out of first place with 9 games remaining in the season. And a couple of brilliant, brilliant pitching outings for the Maize and Blue over the weekend. Joining us to reflect upon that, as I said, is Coach Eric Backich. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Ira. How are you guys?
Doing great, man. And been looking forward to having you come on to give your perspective, to take us inside of what I described as 2 brilliant pitching options or pitching performances by your 1-2 punch of Steve Hadger and Cam Weston. You talk about giving your team a chance to win. This is what it looks like, right? Right, Eric? As Steve Hadger, he goes out and it strikes out 13 guys in 6 innings. Yeah, that gives you a chance to win the game.
No question. You said it exactly right, Sam. The combination of those two guys and the pitching performance they had was outstanding. Steve Hadger set a great tone. You know, he struck out so many of their hitters that ultimately ran his pitch count up. He had the stuff to pitch a complete game that day. He only walked one guy, only gave up one hit. But he struck out, you know, more than 2 per inning. So he was at 101 pitches after 6. So he had to go to the bullpen. But what a performance from him. Our bullpen was outstanding as well. Isaiah Page goes in, pitches an inning and 2/3, strikes out 3 as well. Willie Weiss was fantastic in an inning and 1/3 in relief. And just, you know, pitching was the storyline of the day for sure, highlighted by Steve Hadger. But we also got some timely hits, you know, a couple of 2-out RBIs. And it was, you know, their pitcher is, you know, has a big arm too. He was throwing the radar gun on their scoreboard was 95 to 98. You know, it might have been a little fast, but he was bringing mid-90s heat for sure. And, you know, we loaded the bases in the first inning with no outs and didn't score, you know, had a strikeout, a pop-up, and a strikeout. So that was a, you know, and right away you're thinking, oh, how's this going to go? But we certainly needed that performance from Steve. And then our offense slowly and methodically started to put some runs on the board, and then it finally beat him 5-1.
Yeah, I thought about you because we hear you all the time. We've been talking to you for years. So, you know, things ring out in my mind as if I'm sitting in the locker room on the dugout listening to Eric Beck. Hey, guys, 2-out RBIs, worth their weight in gold. So, Griffin Mazur comes up with a 2-out RBI. Ted Burton comes up with a 2-out RBI. And then you come up and Christian Molfetta gets you your 3rd run of the 2-out RBI. So that's more than enough to win the game. Like you said, you eventually win it 5-1, but it was that timely hitting early in the game that gave you all the cushion you needed.
That was it. That was exactly it. Pitching, defense, timely hitting, you know, Friday night, good pitching on both sides. And that's exactly what we needed. And our offense, even though we didn't score in the first inning, we did make their starting pitcher throw 33 pitches that inning. You know, we had him at almost 100 pitches after 4 innings. So our offense, even though we were not scoring and having the big innings, we were really making him work. And so I thought our offense did a really good job of just grinding out at bats, battling. You know, after 5 innings, the guy was at 124 pitches, and you know, that's a lot. And that's a good job by the offense of really seeing a lot of pitches, spoiling a lot of pitches, fouling off pitchers' pitches with 2 strikes, and then getting those clutch hits with 2 outs.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Eric Backich this morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. You know, that interesting dynamic that you laid out, 13 strikeouts, outstanding, but it does run up the the pitch count. Interesting that 13 was a lucky number, though, for you again in the next game in a different kind of way. So 13 strikeouts for Steve Hadger, 13 ground ball outs for Cam Weston in the next game. And so this is how you go a complete game, right? Hey, man, you know, it's put in play. Your defense shows up. You get out without as many pitches. And Cam Weston, he was nothing short of brilliant for you as well.
No question. That was if there was a billboard for pitching efficiency, Cam Weston should be on it this week. He was working ahead. I mean, he either got two strikes. We keep a stat that where we measure in the first three pitches, do you either have two strikes on the hitter or did you get him out? And Cam Weston, our goal on this particular on that particular stat is to do that about 67% of the time. And Cam Weston was damn near perfect in that category. He was working ahead or getting them out within three pitches. And that was really the reason why he was able to throw a complete game. He only gave up one hit, and he didn't walk anyone. He struck out nine, but he was getting, like you said, a ton of quick ground ball outs. Our defense played very well, didn't make any errors, took care of the ball. And when I'm a position player, or was a position, I guess I still think I'm a player, but you know, I was a position player, Sam. And I'll tell you what, it is fun to play behind a guy who works fast, throws strikes, and gets you a lot of action. That is a fun game to be a part of because you're constantly on your toes. You're constantly engaged. You're never on your heels. You're never sitting back. You never, walk. It's you're all in. And Cam was fantastic. That was, one of the best performances he's had in a Michigan uniform. And he picked a great day to do it to secure that series win.
Right. And, you know, interesting, as you pointed out in the first game, you gave Michigan State's pitcher a lot of credit. Look, your pitching really had to be really good because they were doing a good job, too. It wasn't a game where you lit up the scoreboard. You had some timely hitting, but you scored three runs in this game to win 3-1. And the scoring starts off with that solo shot from Benjamin Sims.
Yeah, that was a big hit. You know, anytime you can play offense with a lead, it just allows you. It's just a comfort level of, you know, guys are feel like they can be a little bit more aggressive on the bases. They're getting better swings off versus playing from a deficit, which is fine. We've done that too, but we had a chance to blow it open. We another opportunity with the bases loaded, and didn't score, but. You know, that's the game sometimes, and that's the way it goes sometimes. And you know, if you're not gonna cash in when you got runners in scoring position with less than two outs, you know, you better get those two out RBIs in order to get the scoring going. So the scoring was a little bit tougher in this particular game. The conditions up there were not really conducive for scoring either. The wind was blowing in. It's a big park. The grass is tall, so you know, it's not like our turf where hard ground balls are getting through. So, you know, when you play at those types of fields, line drives are the only thing that really play. The ground balls slow down and the fly balls are dead. So it was just one of those games. It was going to be a low-scoring affair, and it was going to come down to pitching and defense. And Cam Weston was the entire storyline in this one, and our defense was very good as well.
Right. Letito Flores gives you some insurance a little bit later, another solo shot to get you out of there 3-1, and then the series finale. And you know, it was one of those things where Michigan State they struck early, got a few runs on the board in the first three innings, but that big fifth inning for them, Eric, was what really blew the game open. Seven runs in the fifth inning, and they go on to win that game 10-2.
Yeah, you know, we couldn't put a stopgap on that fifth inning. It was, it was unfortunate because they came out hitting the ball hard from the jump. And, you know, it was just kind of caught us off guard. So we're trying to get the bullpen hot. And, you know, looking back, I probably could have tried to figure that out a little better of how to give those guys a little more time. But in the moment, Sam, I mean, when you know, we're walking people and they're hitting it hard. You just, you know, you're just trying to get guys going in. And we, you know, tried to get Willie in there to just shut it down. And that was my fault. I didn't give him enough time to get warm. But, you know, just didn't work out for us. And they ended up with a big 7-run fifth inning to take a 10-0 lead. And our guys stuck with it. You know, we had scoring up. We put a couple runs up late. We had other scoring opportunities. It just, it was not our day. And, you know, just one of those games where, you know, I look at and, you know, I blame myself a little bit. You know, we talk about this thing called a warrior dial, Sam, where, you know, sometimes you got to raise that dial, get amped up, but sometimes you got to lower that dial because you're too amped up. And, you know, pregame, I had a video talking about Team 147, those teams with Pat Biondi and Mike O'Neill and Jacob Cronenworth and Travis Mazies were showing videos of that team that had no business sweeping Michigan State on the road. And, you know, just all kinds of stuff and, you know, get everyone all fired up. And then we get on the bus and you know, drive an hour. And by the time we get there, it's like, you know, that there would have been a better video to show and then just go out and tackle somebody. And, you know, that's where I probably need to do a better job of just keeping things even. And, but I think, you know, as coaches, sometimes we get a little too fired up too, but that's the way it went. And, unfortunately we weren't able to finish off the sweep, you know, credit to their hitters being ready to go and hitting mistakes right out of the chute and holding the zone and taking their walks. And so that was that, you know, you hate losing to a rival, but you know,
I hear what you're saying, Eric. I love that about you, man. I understand you gotta sort of dial it up and dial it down as a coach, the whole psychology of coaching, but man, I'd much rather have the rah-rah thing, the fire and brimstone to get me fired up for a game than the, you know, hey guys, you know, let's go in here with an even keel. I understand that that's what's warranted in some instances, but you know, if every now and then it bites you, I'll take that. I'll take the good with the bad, as far as I'm concerned. But speaking of the good, and we're talking to Eric Backich this morning, it doesn't get any better than this, Eric. Top two teams in the Big Ten set to do battle. Let me complain for a second that not every one of these games should be on national, either the Big Ten Network or ESPN. How do we only have one of these games televised? Who controls that? Because Michigan, Indiana, this series, the top two in the Big Ten, every single game should be on national television. I'm off my soapbox now. Eric, tell us about the Hoosiers and what they bring to the table.
Well, Sam, the same people controlling TV are probably the same people telling us that, you know, we can only have a couple hundred people in here to watch it live outside. So we can get on a lot of soapboxes about that. But, yeah, you would think this – what a weekend when it's going to be damn near 70 degrees to have a packed house and have actually what feels like a great home field advantage. But anyways, you're right. Heavyweight fight. Two title contenders going at it. Indiana is a very complete team. Their strength is their pitching. There's no doubt they have excellent pitching. They lead the league in pitching. They have a balanced offense. They play good defense. They're well coached. I mean, this will be our biggest challenge of the season, no question. It'll be the best pitching we've seen since probably Iowa. And our guys will be up for it. I mean, this is why you come to Michigan. This is why you play college baseball. I mean, you live for these moments where the lights are the brightest, the stage is the biggest. I mean, you just got to love these moments. And championship teams play their best when it means the most. So I'm excited for our guys. And I know they'll be ready. And we just got to shrink the moment. You know, we just, you know, can't be thinking about, you know, standings and first place and championships. We just got to get into straight up compete mode, knowing that that's what it's going to take, one pitch at a time, to come away with a success this weekend, because it's going to be a very good opponent.
Yeah, a pivotal, crucial, exciting series. The Friday matchup, 4:00. The Wolverines take on the Hoosiers Saturday at 2 o'clock. And then Sunday, the 1 o'clock tilt on Sunday will be televised nationally on ESPN2. Like I said, every game should be televised nationally, but you'll at least be able to see the finale on ESPN2. So definitely mark that down. We will be following along as we do every single game, giving you the blow by blow on our message board on the MichiganInsider.com. So folks, looking forward to it. Eric, I don't know if you're going to not do the rah-rah thing. Maybe it's not even necessary in a series like this, but I love that about you, man. I hope that part doesn't change. Even if there was an L in the finale against Michigan State, I think that's one of the best things about Eric Backage.
Well, I'm glad you think so, Sam. You come out and pitch and hit for us then.
Right, LFG, man, Sam, LFG.
Thanks,
that's
Eric.
That's right, LFG, baby.
Good luck against Indiana. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you later.
That was Eric Backage. He said, you know, the team was a little too fired up, a little too amped up. And I suppose there's a time where not being as keyed up can be the call. And that was the call he feels like should have been the call on Sunday. Now, you know, that's another thing that you appreciate about when a coach takes it on himself. And that's sort of what I took that as, Ira, the coach sort of taking some of the blame for the outcome. And you like that about a coach too, not putting it all on the players, not putting it all on the guys. So,
well, accountability starts with the top, right? You know, it starts at the top, and he's the first one to say, I mean, of all the coaches we talk to, and most of them say this anyway, but he is the first to tell you, I need to change this. So then the players can change that, right? You know, it always starts with him first. He adjusts something, which allows the players to adjust accordingly, but it starts with him. Yeah. Accountability with Michigan baseball starts at the top, and it has been that way since he got here. It's been terrific. You love seeing that kind of leadership within the program, but you see that at softball. You see that at women's gymnastics. You see that at men's basketball. You see that at women's basketball, .. So we have a lot of accountability on campus.
Do you have any, and I shouldn't put you on the spot like this, but you tend to have the schedules in front of you. What is the Big Ten showing?
What is BTN showing? Oh, I couldn't tell you. I haven't looked.
Friday at 4 o'clock, what are you showing?
Okay, so the one I will say this for, and I don't know what the full schedule is, but the Big Ten does have, and I mean, again, maybe it's because they're championships, but this weekend you have Big Ten track and field championships for 3 days. You have Big Ten rowing championships on Sunday, which shouldn't impact, obviously, Friday or Saturday. So there are a couple. I assume that they're going to put the track and field championships on. That's championship level. You know, Big Ten, I assume that's a part of it. I don't know. There's probably some. Sam, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with a reason. But this is what you and I. How about this? This would be a really simple thing. How about if you're the Big Ten Network, you basically have a format like, I don't know, the NFL does have, the NFL has with Sunday Night Football. Be fluid, right? And leave open that you're going to have baseball this weekend and softball this weekend, but don't list who it's going to be until you get to, say, maybe the Monday before. And then you look at it and go, man, we've got to have Michigan baseball on against Indiana this weekend. Oh, but we also have to have, you know, pick a softball weekend, you know, Michigan against Indiana, whoever in softball. You got to have that. So stagger the games, put them all on TV, and know the way you're. They got it right with Minnesota, Michigan, and softball last week. How could they not get it right with this again? The top teams in the league. You own the network.
Yeah, so 4 o'clock on Friday, they're showing Big Ten softball, Nebraska at Northwestern. That's the number 3 team versus the number 18. Number 18. What are we
move
doing?
The game up. That's the thing is, you can shuffle the schedule and move that game up. And so there's a baseball game. Can put that at 2. If you want to carry it, fine. You want to give the coverage.
It's not like you got 3 straight softball games. It's not like you're saying, you know, take every single softball. Keep the rest of the schedule the same. You got 6 o'clock, Minnesota at Penn State softball. 8 o'clock, Illinois at Iowa softball. Great. Keep those.
You mean, so Michigan plays at 4, right?
And make, keep Air Michigan. It's the top two of the top 3 teams in the Big Ten.
If Michigan plays at 4, Michigan plays at 4 o'clock, I think, on Friday.
At 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so
Friday.
Move the first softball game up, drop the second game, and play the third game at the regular time, and you have a baseball game in the middle. You own the network, and I understand you want to give balance in your coverage with all your different. Fine, if you, and I don't think they've done that, but if that's your goal, you know, to make sure you don't shortchange the women's sports for the men's sports, that's fine. Shuffle your schedule. I guess what? The teams that you're shuffling around, well, most of them will be very accommodating because they hope to get shuffled into the TV schedule at some point. Like, that's the goal. They all want to be on TV. And when you have the best teams playing against each other, like Michigan, Minnesota last week in softball, they should be on TV. I would say the same thing if Indiana was playing Ohio State in baseball and they were the top two teams, right? We wouldn't necessarily watch, but we would say that it's best programming for a Big Ten network to have number one versus number two. They're playing, put them on TV. Yeah, that's
or if you have, look, if you have Big Ten Network Plus, this is what you air for free. This is what you air for free. This is a showcase thing. So, you know, you got, if you want to keep your softball schedule what it is on Friday, at least air it so everyone can see it on some platform for free.
Yeah, good luck with that, Sim. Having the Big Ten Network and the Big Ten making good decisions.
I hear
PR's not in their forte right now.
Anyway, folks, like I said, big time baseball action as you look at the Michigan Wolverines currently in the standings at, you know, tied for second place. Indiana, the top team in the Big Ten right now, and these two teams do battle 3-game series in Ann Arbor Friday 4:00, as you heard us say, Saturday 2:00, and then Sunday 1:00. Nationally televised on ESPN2. We got to get to a break. We come back on the other side. We'll get to the recruiting roundup, time of the show where we give you the latest and the greatest in football and indoor basketball recruiting. So stay tuned for that here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.